Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio. Encore Malhotra splits his time between Wisconsin and New Delhi, India, where he runs Amorous Records. It's an independent record label that produces vinyl releases from a range of international artists with a strong focus on preserving traditional Indian folk music. Beta producer Carl Christensen sat down with Encore to talk about his time searching for ancient musical masters and what his relationship to music was growing up in India in the early 1980s.
I was kind of very close to it, you know, something that you listen to all the time. It kind of surrounds you. You know, you go to the market and it's blaring out of a radio and things like that. And, I can credit my father with kind of instilling that joy, because he would be listening to a lot of the Bollywood, classic Bollywood stuff from 50s, 60s, 70s. I don't know how I got my hands on his record player, you know, when I was not even into my double digits, and access to his collection of records, which also included a lot of esoteric stuff. You know, there was the Bollywood stuff, but also psychedelic Western soundtracks and stuff like that. And those are the sounds that have kind of been ricocheting in my brain ever since, and been around.
So you eventually move to Wisconsin, you get your MBA at UW-Madison, and then what brings you back to India to find these masters of traditional Indian folk music, such as Laka Khan?
It was a couple of things that were going on at that time. Part of it was I was by this time living in the States and fully immersed in the local community and kind of volunteering both on radio and with the community festivals and so forth. And as I was kind of getting immersed in the space, one of those things that kind of became more evident and more telling was, and I was watching a lot of music and listening to a lot of music from all over the world, but there was no music from India. We are the second largest country in the world, population-wise, country which is rich and steeped in culture and musical culture specifically. And this was kind of, why isn't it there? And, one day I was chatting with my longtime friend, Ashutosh Sharma, who's co-founder with Amorous Records. And, we're joking about we can't find the blues, as to paraphrase that famous phrase. And then, one day listening to some of these records, we were thinking about, who are the Indian bluesmen? Who are the Indian folk stars? And we really couldn't come up with names. And that for us was, a matter of shame, but it was also a eureka moment, because we knew they were out there. So it became a kind of what if we go out to find them? And that became the beginning, and we kind of presented this first concert in Delhi in 2010. And we had these 40 musicians, master musicians on stage, a fabulous, massive production, the Manganyar Seduction. And at the end of it, they all again kind of disappeared into the sand. And for us, that was like, who are these people? What are their names? Where does this music come from? And that became the driver. And actually, a week after that concert, we just got into the car and drove into the desert. There were, I think, 5 villages, 40, 50 musicians we met on that first trip in December 2010. And towards the end of that trip, we're driving back, and there's Laka Khan, this master musician, plays the Sindhi Sarangi, a 26-string Indian folk instrument. And we show up at his home late in the evening, and he decides to play us a couple of songs. And once you hear the sound of the Sarangi, and once you hear Laka Khan singing, there's this raw, powerful voice, but there's also this melancholy. He's the 7th generation master musician of this instrument, and perhaps the last. And that weighed heavy on him because, you know, his sons didn't pick up the instrument when we first met him. You know, one son was driving a truck, another son was working as a laborer. So, you know, he was the last in how many generations? And then the music stopped there. And that kind of explains some of that deep sadness and melancholy that's so evident in his music. What will I leave behind?
You mentioned this pressure that Laka Khan feels to pass along these musical traditions. Do you feel a similar pressure to preserve this music?
Yes, there is this kind of unrelenting pressure, you know, just like Laka Khan feels that perhaps is he the last one. And for us also, it was kind of more driven by the fact that realizing that, yes, indeed, these are some of those last great players of these sounds. And if that music is not recorded, it's going to be lost forever, because Laka Khan and a lot of the folk music from India comes from an oral tradition. Most of it has never been recorded. It's a treasure trove, and that would get lost forever if it was not being recorded. We also recorded some other master musicians, some of them no longer with us today. One of them was the late Rukma Bai, one of the very few female singers from this community of musicians, the Manganyars from Rajasthan. She was struck with polio at a young age, so she didn't have her legs. So she didn't have both her legs, yet she had been performing all her life. And so we were at her village in Barmer, about 40 kilometers from the Pakistan border, close to this other state of Gujarat, crossroads of trade for centuries. Some people say the Romas, the gypsies, kind of all evolved from here thousands of years ago. And while we're recording her, she shouts out to this man walking down the village street, "Mangya." "Bring your harmonium and accompany me on this track," or something. And so this man, you know, accompanies her, and we finish recording, and it's about 8:30 at night, December. It's dark already, and we're about to pack up when Mangya, this harmonium player, pipes up and says, "I also sing, may I?" And we're like, "Sure." And he starts singing. And we both have goosebumps down our arms. That was the voice of Manga, the voice of Barmer Boys, the band that we know today. But I think 2017, we ended up actually setting up a vinyl cutting lathe in India. And now, you know, we are the only people in India making records. So for a country of 1.3 billion, there is one record cutting machine active in a tiny corner in the outskirts of Delhi, run by Amaris Records.
Okay, so you're cutting these records, these vinyl records, by hand of traditional Indian folk music. What has been the reaction so far in India?
I would say it has been very well received. Of course, it was a struggle to begin with. It still is to this day. But we've been successful in bringing audiences. Like, case in point would be Barmer Boys, where some of their first shows we'd have, you know, a few dozen people in the audience. And our first big break came in 2014 when we were booked to play Roskilde Festival in Denmark. And the best part was our set was sandwiched between sets by Outkast and the Rolling Stones. Also describing what we are trying to accomplish at Amaras is how do we bring this music to new audiences, but how do we also explore new, perhaps uncharted territory, you know, musically speaking. And case in point would be Laka Khan, a sarangi player, collaborating with Madhu Siddique Diabate, another master musician, 71st generation Kora player, the African lute harp, a 20-string instrument. Forty-seven strings, speaking with each other. The musicians don't know each other's language.
So you split your time between Madison and India, and most of the artists on your label are from India or some from Africa. So what keeps you in Wisconsin?
Madison is a beautiful town. You know, I've been here 20 years, and it's such a fabulous community. You know, I could be living in a big city, and I lived in a big city. I'm a Delhiite. And then we're in the beautiful outdoors and nature and Black Earth Creek. I love fly fishing and things like that. Just, you know, step away and 30 minutes later, you're enjoying beautiful outdoors of the state. It's such a beautiful, welcoming culture and accepting. And that's been one of those things which has kept me here.
Running an independent record label, do you find it hard to balance the artistic, musical stuff with all the business stuff?
Balance. What's that? No, it has been a tough juggling act, also spanning continents. You know, it's a DIY label, and so I guess we signed up for it. There's the work-life balance, but then there's also this balancing act within the record label trying to run the business. One of the other pressing things is that these musicians aren't getting any younger. Someone like Laka Khan probably has 400, 500 songs in his songbook, all in his head. And as a fact, I know his sons know only probably 20% of those songs. So, you know, Laka Khan has been touring with us, has been on the road, but he's not getting younger. And there's going to be a point pretty much in the near future where, you know, he's going to stop touring. Is that an end of a livelihood? Is that the end of the music? And for Amaras, we feel that there is still more that can be done. So if that transfer doesn't happen or is not made, or, you know, we kind of don't take efforts to capture some of this music or record it, it's going to be lost forever.
Ankur Malhotra talked about his independent record label, Amaras Records, with Beta producer Carl Christensen. Find out more about his label and Ankur on our website, wpr.org/beta.
I experienced music and light and color in a way that I had not ever experienced before, almost like I had been reborn.
Heather Armstrong on the experimental way she treated her depression. That's coming up next. I'm Doug Gordon, and this is Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.